Well, you want me to do it still?
Well, can't start the show without that, Brad.
I guess you're right.
Hey, everybody, welcome to Real Estate Makes Us Drink. Brian Quinlan here from Daniels Real Estate.
Brad Nickum from Nest Mortgage Group.
Once again, we have a guest on the show today. Sir, tell me who you are.
Excuse me.
What?
You told me that we were having a really famous podcaster on here, and you don't look like Pat McAfee.
No. No, I am no Pat McAfee.
Well,
I am not. But
I guarantee I won't be let down. I guarantee.
Ooh, that's a high bar.
It really is.
It really is. But no, my name is John Couch. I'm with the two bearded guys. That is B-E-E-R-D-E-D.
Yeah.
Because we drink beer, but we have beards.
That's fantastic.
Somebody who's on the show to talk beer with me.
Yeah. I mean, he said drinking, and I'm like, okay.
Cheers to you, John.
Cheers to you.
Thanks
cheers
for being here. So,
What
normally happens on this show is Brad talks about tequila because he loves tequila. I don't, but he's really trying to bring me over to his side. I talk about beer, though my taste buds, as we like to joke on the show, are more like taste pals. I don't have very refined taste when it comes to beer, so I don't really even know how to talk about beer. So I'll at least mention what it is that I'm drinking.
Okay.
And then, you know, occasionally we'll get into real estate, lending, or just whatever.
Okay.
At this point. So.
Down for that.
Yeah. Yeah. Good time. So, all right. Well, sir, what are you drinking?
Pedro Fortivo.
Oh, well, you sound
which
really
in Spanish means Sneaky Pete.
Does it really?
It does, yeah. And if you look on the bottle, there's a crown on a fox. Cause
so there is.
The fox is the spirit animal of the two owners, Peter and Omar. And they always felt like they were just the king of their own little kingdom. So they put a nice little crown on their spirit animal. And Peter, the owner of the company, his wife, you know, always says he's working on stuff and he's being sneaky. So they wanted a name, and Pedro Fortivo. Sneaky Pete.
Sneaky Pete.
Nice. So I assume you had Sneaky Pete on the show?
Yeah, I just put their brand interview on my YouTube channel. They're an absolutely awesome set of guys. He's a brewer.
Okay.
And a winemaker. Peter is. And then Omar is a sixth generation agave farmer in Mexico.
That's our type of people.
That's you ain't kidding.
Yeah.
It is.
Yeah.
Well, there you go. I have a one-off beer that I purchased at Jungle Jim's in Cincinnati.
Wonderful place.
Right? And Helles is real. I know I like Helles beer. I'm more of a light beer kind of lager guy. So this tastes like a lot of the other ones I've had.
It tastes like beer to you?
It really does taste like light beer to me.
There is, with all the light beers, blondes and pilsners and lagers and Helleses. Helles is probably my favorite.
All right. Hefeweizen is my favorite.
Gotcha.
Maybe more of a fruity kind of beer, I guess. So, at least that's the way I describe it usually.
So what, that's a beer type?
Yes.
Helles?
Yes. Uh-huh. Helles is a German style beer.
Okay.
And, being a lager, I get in the differences between lagers and ales and all that sorts of stuff.
Go ahead.
Yeah. Why do that with tequila all the time? And I know nothing about that stuff.
So basically it's the yeast.
Okay.
So with the lager yeast, it ferment slower. You can ferment at a lower temperature, and oftentimes with the lager, it sits in that fermenter for months.
Wow!
So a good example of that is like an Oktoberfest or that. They actually brew those in like March.
Oh,
Does it give you like a malolactic flavor to it because it's taken so long to ferment?
A lot of the flavors and tastiness that come out of that do come from that yeast. So, kind of biscuity, just a little bit of sweetness in there. If you might have different notes in there that could be potential off flavors, you get into diacetyl, which is a butter popcorn flavor, things like that.
I like me some butter
popcorn. Because they took it off the yeast too early,
sure,
and things like that. So it is just a different yeast, and lager are just something I like. Just biscuity, malty, just
easy drinking.
And basic, easy drinking.
All right. Well, this is Westchester, Ohio. It was voted supposedly Cincinnati's favorite beer in 2023. So there we go. Grain Works Brewing Company. You can put anything you want on the can, right?
Exactly.
All right. Now, I brought that as well.
Yeah,
I don't even know what the heck you grabbed.
I appreciate that. This is from Municipal Brew Works. Another one from Hamilton, Ohio, that Cincinnati area. This is their approachable blonde, a blonde L. So we all love the blonde that's approachable.
Hey, baby.
But yeah, 5% ABV, easy drinker. And it really is. I mean, it's kind of got a crispness to it.
So an approachable blonde, that'd be like 5'2", maybe a 180, and some real comfortable shoes.
Huh. Well, that's interesting. We may have different descriptions of
she's
approachable.
The approachable. Right? She's not going to smack you or something. She's going to be like, oh, yeah, I'll go to dinner with you.
5'2", 180?
Yeah, I'm saying you're going to have a harder time with the 5'9", 135.
All right.
Perhaps. I can see where he's coming from with that.
I suppose.
I know I was more approachable when I was heavier.
You were just heavier, which means people got to you sooner.
Is that what it is?
Farther out.
Because mass is attraction.
That's right.
There you go. Now we're getting into science.
That's a science thing?
Mass attraction?
Gravity.
Ah, there you go. Yeah. Gravity is definitely a law.
All right, John. So you have a podcast that is...
We do.
I saw on YouTube.
We do.
Where else is that located?
So we, every other Monday now at this point, our schedule, go live. So we do a live cast.
Okay.
And it is on YouTube and Facebook and Twitch.
We need to be live.
I don't have a Twitch. All they gotta do is push a button up there.
Okay. And then that's exactly why I don't think we really get any viewers on Twitch. Most of them are just watching, you know, they're watching their video game videos and drinking beer. So maybe not the right audience for Twitch, but you know.
I don't even know what Twitch is.
It's literally a streaming service. It's very popular with people who will play video games online and people sit there and watch them play games.
I thought it was what my eye did.
That it does that too. Yes. So when I looked you up on YouTube today, and the majority of your episodes are like minute and a half, 2 minutes or so.
So you came across maybe our shorts that we do.
Yeah, it does appear that that was the case. How long are your episodes?
So our actual live casts are like 2 hours.
Oh, dang.
Oh, holy cow.
How many beers are you drinking in 2 hours?
So we normally do about seven.
I used to say 74.
With those seven, basically, we'll have, there's three of us who are on the show every week or every time we do it. And then we try to have a guest. So it depends on how on it we are booking wise.
I'm available if you ever need me.
Okay. I will remember that.
I'll have to drink tequila because I can't drink beer.
Fair enough. But so yeah, basically we'll have a beer, we'll split it four ways, we will talk about that beer, we'll go off a tangent for 10, 15, 20 minutes.
Standing.
It's really structured.
Similar.
There's a structure.
Yeah.
No, that's the off tangent part of it.
That's okay.
We do tangents.
And then we'll rate it, we'll talk about it, we'll rate it, we'll move on. And typically the reason why we like guests is we like to talk about the cool shit that they do.
Nice.
So it
is for you.
I will definitely enjoy that.
It's probably exactly a 1 ounce pour.
He really is.
He's poured a lot of tequila.
He really has.
We started, it'll be 5 years.
Wow. Okay.
5 years this month. And it was right before COVID.
All right.
And my buddy Tyler and I, who started it, we come from the craft beer world. We performed every job in a brewery except head brewer and owner. So we'll run operations. We'll run behind the bar, the kitchens, on the brew deck and all that good stuff. And it just kind of felt like that was a time frame where we were still in the brewery world at that point in time. But it also, with everything going on, we wanted to keep a connection to it. And COVID hit, 2020, all that, and so everything just shut down. I had to get a job elsewhere.
Man.
I had a job. I was working at Sun King, but then, you know.
Yep.
It hit restaurants and bars and really hard. So, but we love this industry. And we said, listen, we want to continue to have a tie to the industry. And we know a lot of cool people who do a lot of cool shit. So we bring them on. We can talk about them, promote them, and just, help our friends out. So that's what we're doing. We've been doing it for 5 years. And that's not really much of a business model, but that's what we do.
Now, you mentioned you had to go get a real job. I see the John Deere.
That was not the job of being that I went to.
So you don't necessarily have to talk about what you went to if you don't want to, whatever.
I don't have to.
What do you do now?
So I went to... So I had a buddy who had just become a manager at a place that sells cremation services.
Oh.
So
that's probably a hot spot.
I did that for about a month. And then his bosses had a different sales vision for what he sold me on. And I was like, yeah, that's not really what I want to do. So then I got hired on.
Wait, you didn't actually cremate bodies?
No, just selling the service.
I got it. Okay.
Yeah. Cool thing is, now that
I'm glad you didn't meet my wife, because she probably would have paid for that years ago.
I get a free one now.
Wow.
Yeah. Well, that's pretty cool.
Everything.
Oh, good for you. So,
estate planning at its finest.
And it is.
Estate planning.
To work for a month. You get it covered. And then I went and got an insurance adjuster's license. I got a job that was a call center. They contract insurance adjusting work.
Okay.
And there's a reason I left call centers.
Hmm. They suck.
I did about 5 months of that. I was like, hey, yeah, it's not going to work.
Yeah.
Yeah. So then I had a buddy working at my current place, Reynolds Farm Equipment. And so I was just like, hey, I just need something right now. And he's like, oh, we need a wash bay guy, and that'll be a driver role. And I'm like, all right, I'll do that. 3 months later, and then I was at the service counter, and then just moved on. I'm now in the back end side running our operations. And we have been very successful in kind of turning things around a little bit.
Nice.
It was a very rough couple years then, because we were overwhelmed and didn't know what we were doing.
Oh, all right. But now you know
what
you're doing.
Now we know what we're doing.
What do they think about the beer podcast?
Oh, they have no issues with it.
That's cool.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
My boss has a real problem with me doing this.
Who's that?
Me.
That's how nice.
Just all the time I spend.
Shouldn't you be doing that?
We should be looking at an ROI. There's no ROI.
Yes, there is.
Oh, there's ROI.
I mean, your ROI is t-shirts and free bottles of tequila.
Yeah.
Come on.
Hats. I got hats.
And hats.
We got so much free. We get so much free beer. We never,
I'm telling
we
you,
we never ask for it.
Figure out.
We never ask for it. Like we're the opposite. We're like, hey, we want to promote you. We sell t-shirts and stuff at Beer Fest so we can raise money to go spend it at your breweries.
Right.
But
you're talking about that product, and it's just like what we do here with real estate. It's giving information. So those breweries want you to give that information.
And they do.
Yeah.
And then we're like, no, we'll pay. And they're like, no, take this. And now here's a case. And then it's like,
we're going to talk about that.
I've told Brian a couple of times we need to figure out how to monetize him to get something for this, because I did the math since August. It's a little over $2,500 in free tequila. Not to mention the t-shirts and the hats.
Yeah.
I told him I have a taller, larger friend for shirts that they haven't acknowledged you yet.
It's unfortunate.
I'm trying.
Maybe I need to be on the show more often.
Maybe you should be. Maybe you should. Maybe like tequila a little.
Well, perhaps.
Like, taste that tequila. Tell me if you think that is good.
Oh,
you want to taste it?
Yes.
You usually don't like it, but you can taste it.
Well, you know.
Pedro Fortiva.
A little sneaky like peek.
This is a Blanco. It's a very traditionally made tequila. They're utilizing a high-pressure autoclave. It's using a roller mill, estate agaves grown in the highlands. They're doing fermentation in the colder weather, all open fermentation, so it's a little bit longer fermentation than what you're normally trying to get.
That's excellent.
That's $30.
Is it?
$30 a bottle.
No shit.
One other thing about Brad's love of tequila is he is all about additive-free tequilas. And so the one you had pointed out previously off the top doesn't love it so much anymore. Used to be one of your favorites.
I have a video coming out on Saturday that talks about that a little bit, because it's not just about the additives. It's really about, is it traditional or authentically made, or is it just a commercial industrial product?
Yeah.
And so many of the big brands are utilizing equipment that takes the hands out of it, takes the people away, removes a 6 to 8 year old agave plant, uses a 2 year old agave plant. They use acid and hot water to break it down into an agave goop. Then they throw that agave goop into a closed fermentation tank where they're controlling everything that happens in there, and then distilling it in a column still.
Yeah.
And they can make, I read it, I don't know how true this is, but I read that the Jose Cuervo distillery can make the amount of tequila in 1 week than what Fortaleza makes in a year.
Yep.
Wow.
And years ago, they employed over 25,000 people in the region to create their tequila, and now it's less than 2,100 because they've figured out how to take the people out of it. And when you look at this, this is an 8-year-old agave, 6 to 8-year-old agave being cut in a field by the farmers
yeah.
who own the distillery or own the brand. You know, they're using an autoclave to cook it, but low pressure, so low and slow. Then they're you know, fermenting it in open fermentation with their own proprietary yeast. And then they're using a twice distilled copper pot. And yeah. then they take it. And because you've taken those molecules and you've really messed up their world in a couple of days, they just rest it for as many days as they feel it should rest before they bottle it. And then you get this fantastic, sweet, agave-forward flavored tequila that doesn't, it's so good.
It's so much, I hear you talk about it. And it's one of the things and why we wanted to keep that connection to this craft beer world, because not just craft beer, it's craft.
It's craft.
And when you,
exactly.
you hear these people talk about what they do and the yep. pride they take in it and just the by hand methods that they do.
I was talking about this the other day. I like to cook, right? I would rather, you know, yeah, I could buy a 79-cent brown gravy packet and it'll taste just fine. But I'd rather make my own beef broth for 12 hours in a day and then turn that into a gravy because that just is better. It's just yeah. better.
It's you know, I break it down even smaller than that. Would you rather have a hamburger you cooked on your grill or would you rather get a McDonald's hamburger? And the McDonald's hamburger isn't bad.
No.
It's very useful.
Eating
very
one.
Industrial, right?
Yeah.
But, you know, gosh, it's so much better when you've got your hands in it. And that's why you want to use Brian as a realtor, because he's going to be hands-on the whole time and just guide you through the whole process.
That's a fantastic shift.
Wow.
He's like a traditional tequila. He's hands-on, and he's going to do it the way it should be done.
Thanks, buddy.
You're welcome.
He's aged quite well, is what we're saying.
So
that's a segue for you.
It really is. Good segue. Now, people making their own beer at home is a very popular thing nowadays.
Yeah.
Have you ever done that?
Yes. We do about every 6 weeks, we do a homebrew.
Oh, wow. And do you switch up what's in it each time? Or yes. Is it, you know,
yeah. Yeah. I would say we cheat a little bit. And what I mean by that is, if for those who don't know, Sun King Brewing is the second largest brewery in Indiana. And we're very good friends.
Sorry, what's the first?
Upland.
Three Floyds.
Oh. Oh. Is that the same or not?
Dark Lord, Zombie Dust. Those, that's their brands.
Oh, gotcha.
Yeah, Three Floyds. He thought it was
Upland. I thought it was Upland.
Upland's third.
Okay.
Upland is third. Sorry. Yep.
It's okay. Sorry. Go ahead.
Sun King. Sun King is. And he ran their QA lab for about 10 years. He's a scientist. And then about 2 years ago, he got promoted to basically head of brewing. So next to the owner who is brewing director, right? He's the guy in charge of everything.
Nice.
And we homebrew with him.
Okay.
That's pretty cool.
So, nice. Yeah. He's a great buddy of ours, Kevin Smolar. We call him the smartest man in beer.
Excellent.
But he is, we rely on his expertise to actually put together the recipes, and we just do all the grunt work.
Nice. So. Who's the owner of Sun King at this point?
So Dave Colt is one of the owners, and Dave's partner.
Stumped you. Got it.
Do you ever do any remotes, like where you go and film your podcast from one of the bars or one of the breweries?
We have done that. The biggest thing we like, so we're not very good at all this technology stuff. So that's the reason we like live.
We don't like really any, we don't have any technology here to make this happen.
We like live.
I disagree.
Because none of us know how to edit. None of us want to edit.
Okay.
So we like to go live.
That's
my gig on the show, by the way.
I would love to tell you that I don't know how to edit.
No, either.
He ruined me.
When we've tried to do live, go live at events, we ran into spotty internet connections,
sure.
Things like that. So the live doesn't work very well. So most time then we're capturing what you might call B-roll or quick clips of this and that. Some of those little, what we call our bearded shorts.
Yeah.
That you might find on the YouTube channel, things like that.
Bearded shorts are a completely different thing is what I was thinking of.
Yeah.
I was picturing a Speedo.
Duh, beautiful.
It can. It can involve whatever.
So
with a beard.
Okay. Fuzzy. Do you have a favorite type of beer? Maybe even a favorite brand or, you know, whatever.
So, out of light beers, the Helles is my favorite.
Okay.
But my favorite overall style is probably going to be like a Russian Imperial Stout.
Okay.
I am a stout individual. Revolution Brewing out of Chicago. I love barrel-aged stouts especially. Revolution does a wonderful job with their barrel program. They actually have, and I say stouts are my favorite, but they have an oatmeal stout that is fantastic. But my favorite from them is a rye wine, which just simply means it's like at least 60% rye.
Oh, okay.
But it's my favorite. Another probably favorite of the show itself is River North Brewing out of Denver, Colorado. They do high gravity brewing. Their stouts, I mean, if they have a stout that's 13%, it's low.
Wow.
I've had a 22% stout from them.
Holy cow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Okay. And it was fantastic.
Okay.
So
I'm Brian, your Indianapolis realtor. If you are looking to buy or sell a house in the Indy area, I'm your guy. If you're coming from out of state, want to make a move to the Indy area, I'm your guy. Check out the show notes for a link. We can get in touch and get you started. Thanks for watching. Now back to the show.
Is there a type of beer you don't like?
I'm not a big fan of Belgians and Hefes.
Oh, okay.
Belgian yeast tends to provide a banana clove note to the beer.
Mm.
And I just don't like bananas.
Meh.
So.
Fair.
Yeah.
All right. I'm not an IPA guy. I always describe that I feel like most IPAs taste the same to me, but I've already told you I don't have very refined taste as it is. But to me, just IPAs are all the same, and it's not a flavor that I like. So I'm like,
you know why?
Just ignore those.
You know why?
What? No.
Because most people find a hop or two or three that tends to be popular, and they make the same beer over and over with all the same hops. And every brewery does it.
How about that?
So your Citra Mosaic, your Galaxy hops are very, very common and used over and over, and they wind up tasting the same.
Well, how about that?
So it's fun when somebody's like, oh, I used Crypto Cryo Frozen number 39. I'm like, what is that? That's a new one. I'll try that. But yeah, for the most part, it's three or four of the same.
Okay.
Citra Mosaic.
I'm crazy.
Amarillo.
I got two questions for you.
Yeah.
One, have you ever heard of Sound Growler Brewery in Chicago?
No.
Say Sound Growler?
Yep. Sound Growler.
I have not.
So I guess there's a few locations in Chicago. He's also the owner of Lost Lore Tequila.
Okay.
And he made it first in beer there. And then my next question is, have you found any gluten-free beers that taste at all like beer?
So we did a gluten-free episode.
Ah.
Yeah.
And
that work out?
There were the best ones we rated average. So there were one or two that was like, okay, this is like an average beer.
So I had to go gluten-free. And so I had lots of people bringing me different gluten-free beers. And the only thing I could think of is how they made it. And I knew they only could be made in the wintertime. And it's because they primarily made them at large box retail stores. And they would go in the evening time and they'd pick up the mats in front of the door. And then they just wrung those out into bottles. And then they put gluten-free beer.
I don't think he likes them.
Yeah.
I can't have, I love beer. Like there's a kegerator in there that I can't have.
Yeah.
But when I had to switch, it's been 4 years now, every gluten-free beer is just like, oh my gosh, I can't do it.
If I had to go gluten-free, but I still wanted something within that realm, I would probably go cider. Yeah.
But yeah, I did a lot of ciders for a long time. Yeah. Now
which has its own issues because they're sugary and blah, blah, blah. But
right.
Yeah.
Yeah, I even moved out of the brown spirits and moved more into just the tequila. But
yeah.
Yeah, I miss
more of just the tequila. Like, you're just totally tequila.
I'm totally tequila. I do miss,
when
like,
drinking tequila like Sneaky Pete.
Oh, dude. Sure. That's so good.
That it was sent to him. Just
so.
Here you go.
When I miss the days of kicking on Sunday football and drinking beer all day.
Yeah.
Because if I kick on Sunday football and I try to drink tequila like I drank beer all day,
you know, you're like, oh, I had a 12%er, or I had a 22%er. Well, I just had a 50%er.
Yeah. I don't remember the second half of the first game.
A couple of 110s up there.
And listen, yeah, 1 ounce of that is all you need for an hour. And you're supposed to drink three during the course of a football game? There's no way. I'm going to drink a lot more than that.
Yeah, I'll drink for a bottle.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly.
This is my challenge. It's, my challenge. It's not the same. I miss it. So I try to, like, mix in different RTDs. Have you ever done any shows where you review some different ready to drink cans?
Yeah.
How's that go? Never very good?
There's some that are fine.
Yeah.
My favorite, and I call it my favorite, it's one that I'll go and buy again and again. They're at a lot of local beer fests. It's from High and Mighty.
Mm-hmm.
It's their lemon shake-up.
That sounds like it'd be good.
It's delicious, and it doesn't taste alcoholic at all. It's delicious. Most of them are like, okay, yeah, this is fine. Okay, yeah. But that one is fantastic. And some of the others, I'm a big fan of some of the others, but that one.
I can't do seltzers, but I can do some of the real RTDs, you know, but the seltzers, I'm like, this tastes like somebody almost put some flavor in some sparkling water.
American Liquors.
Yeah.
Which is a very low-cost 4-grain vodka.
Okay.
Is what they make. American vodka. They had some ready-to-drinks, and they were pretty solid. I enjoy those. And the latest one, from that Finnish, it's from a Finnish company that like a baseball player or someone owns a part of. I don't know.
I got nothing.
Long drinks.
Long drinks. You know,
long drinks are solid.
My favorite ones I found last year, and I've never been able to find them again, was Daly's.
Okay.
I forget what they're called. They're good boys.
Okay.
Oh.
Yeah, John Daly's vodka drink.
I love a John Daly.
My social media coach in St. Louis is sponsored by Good Boy.
Oh, dude, they're so hard to find because they come in, they sell out right away. They're great, but they're, you know, that's not a seltzer; it's a vodka drink, right? So, I sometimes don't read the labels well enough. Then I come home and I open it and I'm ready for this vodka iced tea drink, and it's an iced tea seltzer, which is like, we don't want to put too much tea in there.
If you're wanting vodka, I would try the American vodka one.
I'll check that out. Yeah, I do. That's where I replace my, you know, and just drinking tequila all day, have like a nice ready to drink. There's Surte has a really good ready to drink, you know, different Palomas, margaritas.
Yeah.
You know,
what's the worst? I have an answer to the worst ones.
What is it? What's the worst?
Mum water.
What is it?
Mum water?
Oh, my wife loves those things. Yeah, she loves mum water.
I'm a fan.
But, you know, there's one thing you don't have going for you to figure that out. You ain't no mom. Your podcast would be completely different if it was the bearded mom beer drinkers.
Yeah. Yeah, you're right.
It'd be completely different podcast. Right.
Different podcast.
So you're not supposed to like mum.
Yeah, but it's so bad. They have a dad water. And I don't want to try it.
Oh, there's a dad water too?
Because the mom water is so horrible.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. I've had a mom water. And my estrogen level, you know, peaked. I put on 4 pounds and I was grouchy. So then I came out there and drank a gluten beer and sat on the toilet for an hour. Then I felt more balanced.
I've been researching the long drink that you were talking about.
Yeah.
Miles Teller, who's an actor.
That's who it is. Yeah.
And player. Ricky Fowler, professional golfer.
Oh, Ricky Fowler. Yeah.
One of the
long drinks are good.
And whoever Kago is.
I have a lot of swag.
He's the guy that had a real job.
Yeah.
Is it this way in the beer world? Like in the tequila world, if it's celebrity owned, usually it's garbage. Is it the same in the beer world that is it celebrity owned? Is it still good or is it just yuck?
So I'm trying to think. Most celebrities aren't owning the breweries. They might do a collaboration.
So they're buying tequila companies and get them in the beer.
Now you got like Stone Cold, right?
Yeah.
He's got his, and that one's okay.
Yeah, that's okay.
Yeah, because The Rock has Terramana.
Yeah.
Which you could make that in there where there's a urinal. After you drink this Sneaky Pete, you can make a bottle of Terramana.
I haven't had Hogan's.
If I make it, it's a small batch.
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
I haven't had a Hulk Hogan's beer.
Hulk Hogan has a beer?
He does. It's a real American beer.
Maybe I'll bring that next time.
Yeah.
Remember Billy Beer? In celebration of Jimmy Carter, who just passed, one of a great humanitarian after he was president, his brother Billy, while Jimmy Carter was president, came out with Billy Beer.
Oh, okay.
And Billy Beer was like a thing. Billy Carter is Billy Beer. And I have a can of it somewhere. Like,
nice.
It was kind of famous back when I was a kid, and I collected beer cans, so I had full cans of Billy Beer. So, yeah, research it. That's a thing. Billy Beer. Billy Carter.
Like that. Love that, actually.
And, hey, Jimmy Carter, like I said, great humanitarian.
Absolutely.
So maybe not the greatest president, but phenomenal afterwards.
Phenomenal human.
Oh, unbelievable human. Yeah.
There you go. Another thing that I did notice in doing a little research on your show, there is a Two Bearded Guys Drunk Movie Review.
Yes.
Tell us about that show.
Yeah, I want to know about that.
So,
which I think is YouTubeable.
No.
No. Okay.
No. That was our more traditional podcast.
All right.
Where you can only like wherever you listen to podcasts at is where you can get it, right?
Okay.
That's
right. It was in the podcast app. That's
so it wasn't a video podcast?
It was not video.
It was not.
Yep. So
should it be?
The very first time
I think so.
The very first time, the very first Two Bearded Guys show, we didn't even have a YouTube channel or nothing. It was me and my buddy Tyler on Instagram Live on our phone.
Excellent.
And we got a little stand and we had our phone there and we went live, right, just drinking. And this guy named Russell Owens tuned in, right? And from Vancouver, Washington, about an hour east of Portland. We're like, well, this is really cool. Like, people from across the country watch it.
Right? Woo!
Yeah. Well, we became really good friends with him.
Okay, that's awesome.
And he was had a job for an internet radio company called Turfs Up Radio. And he invited us. He's like, hey, I do a lot of the content for the radio station. If you guys want to do a podcast, like, I could have that hosted. So we were like, man, what are we going to do? And we like movies, and we would sit here and drink for in the COVID time frame, 3 hours is how long the show would be.
Because you had time.
We had time. No one had work the next day. What else are you going to do? And so we were like, listen, we're gonna talk about movies then. After the show, we're going to have a three-hour show, and then we're going to talk about movies. We're already drunk. Let's talk about a movie.
Awesome.
And we tried to keep them to 20-minute episodes, and, well, you know, some of them are 40 minutes and whatever. But, yeah, it's just something we'd give ourselves homework. This week we're watching this show, okay, and we're going to go talk about it.
How do you decide on which movies to talk about? Just random?
So we would do theme months. So
Big Busty Gals number 8.
Right. Always, yeah. So
that's the every third Monday of the month.
Scary Movie Month. We would do actor theme months, like, hey, this will be John
Quentin Tarantino, Owen Wilson.
Because you said Owens, and then if you'd have tied in Owen Wilson, then I would have tied in Alabama's 0-2 and all of their bowl games
in 2024. They were
so, yeah, we like to call ourselves, we're like the drunk guy sitting at the bar, just like
talking about a movie,
just talking random shit, right? And the people who like to listen to us and watch us, they're like the ones at the table who are really secretly cracking up at us, but kind of staying out of the conversation is kind of fun.
But then listen still.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, that.
There you go.
What is this now?
Sneaky Pete Repo. This is aged for 6 months in French wine barrels. So you get, to me, there's a real dry note in the finish, which would, for me, would come from the wine, but he said, not necessarily. Mm. It came from fermentation.
Yes.
To me, not as sweet as the other one.
It's not.
It has a
buttery,
mm-hmm,
to me, it has like a buttery taste to it. That I did that in the reviews. This one, like, tastes like butter, a little butterscotch. No, it's really good. These are great. This is $40, by the way.
So I was going to ask, what would be a good sub-$50 tequila that is high quality? Well, right here it is. I don't even have to ask.
Now, this one, you only can get it in Georgia right now. They're working on expanding. Georgia and Tennessee, they're working on going to other states. But there's, I can show you 50 tequilas under $50 that are wonderful.
I'm going to get that list before I leave.
Yeah, there's so many great, just like beer, right? There's so many great beers that in the craft beers, there's thousands, probably more, although there's a couple thousand brands of tequila today. But
yeah, there's so much. It's fun to watch those lists. And then you got the World Beer Cup and all that.
But so let me think if you think the same way as I do in tequila. So if you know this is brewed by Sun King, once Sun King gets purchased by Budweiser, is it the same to you? Or is it now just another big, giant, different tasting beer?
So that is a wonderful question. And that pops up every year on Black Friday because Goose Island has their Bourbon County that they release every year on Black Friday. And up until, I forget how long ago it was, within the last 10 years, they got bought out.
Yeah.
And a lot of people are like, well, it's just not the same. But the thing is, they left everybody there in place.
Oh.
Bourbon County is just as good today as it was then because they didn't change anything.
They didn't change the production method. Yeah.
Right. But there are definitely examples where they'll get bought out, they'll swoop in, and they'll change things. And then, yeah, then
it's not craft anymore. It's a big brand.
Yeah.
Right?
Yes, exactly.
It's hard to look at a craft beer owned by BevMo and say, oh, that's a, or InBev, and say, oh, that's a craft beer owned by the second largest alcohol conglomerate in the world.
Right.
Yeah, they brew it on their jet.
That's right.
It is kind of a touchy subject. And it really, I guess, it just depends on what the approach they take with that brewery. There's that one made the headlines about a year and a half ago in San Francisco. It's been around for a long time. And I'm right now, I don't remember off the top of my head the name of it, but a Japanese large conglomerate bought them and completely changed it.
Centurium or whatever.
Yeah. Completely changed it, changed out what they do. And they went bankrupt last year. They went out of business. They're like, we're closing our doors.
Because they ruined it so much that.
Ruined it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
See, that's
all right. So you've been doing your show for 5 years.
Mm-hmm.
On every show, you're reviewing 6 to 7-ish beers.
Yep.
Do you ever worry that you're going to run out of beers to talk about? That's a lot.
It's a lot. And no. There's a lot of breweries out there. There is a lot of different styles that they brew. And we're not even against trying one, especially the beers that are meant to be aged. So stouts, barrel-aged stouts, whether there are some sours that are meant to be aged, things like that, that over time, those flavors change. And it is interesting to be like, okay, we had this one 4 years ago.
Let's try it now.
Because we would buy two, and we would put one in the cellar, and then one drink one then. We'd go in trash. We did that a lot with the Bourbon Counties, for example. And we pulled one out, it was 3 years ago, and it almost got
hotter.
It was just more boozy and just more.
I was like, that's not normal.
That's awesome.
It was, yeah. So we'll keep those notes as we put everything into the Untappd app.
Oh yeah.
The beer rating app.
Yeah.
So we do our rating scale on that, and that's basically our notebook, our archive.
No kidding.
Yeah.
So we use Tequila Matchmaker.
There you go.
So Trey with tequila. So does the beer business do what the tequila business does? I say they create FOMO. There's always these single barrels and this limited edition still strength or these, you know, Day of the Dead limited editions that come out. Do they do that in the beer world?
Yeah. There is some that are worth it and are definitely ones that you have to have. And there's some who are just trying to, once again, like just create that.
Right.
And to varying degrees of success.
Do you ever get faux row? Fear of running out?
Because that's what I get.
I get a special bottle and I'm like, I'm not drinking it.
Yeah.
Just some.
A sip, a little sip.
There are a few beers that we'll never have again. And it is kind of, it's, we have a brewery friend in Denver, Burns Family Artisanals, and he started brewing in Michigan in the 80s. So he's been in the industry for a long time, and he is a high ABV specialist, the 15, 18, 20% beers. And he brews a beer that will last. And when we were there in Denver last year, he pulls this beer out of the cellar. They can't serve it there at their bar because it wasn't brewed there.
Gotcha.
Okay. But it can be part of an experience. And of course, we're friends. They invited us over. So it was a 21-year-old beer. This beer could legally drink.
Wow.
And it was fantastic. But that bottle's gone.
Yeah. Right? Now it's done.
And we're talking about homebrewing with our buddy Kevin Smolar. Prior to me joining them about 8 years ago in homebrewing, they brewed a Belgian quad that they named John Quad.
John Claude. That's fantastic.
Yeah. And it was gone. And the other day he found like 6 bottles.
We got to drink it.
Oh. And we drank one. Yeah, it was so good.
So tell me, May, I think, is probably going to be your favorite month in Indianapolis this year. Because we're having the Craft Brewers World something.
We are.
Right? What's coming in May?
So it is basically, it is not necessarily an open to the public sort of event. But it is like a world beer conference, and there is beer judging there. Ooh. But it is an industry convention that is not open to the public.
Do you get to go?
So we're working on that.
Yeah. So Sneaky Pete.
Yeah.
Who is the brewer in.
Yeah, Atlanta. You're right. Yeah.
So Peter Kiley is his name, and he will be there.
Okay.
And I think he's speaking at this event.
Cool.
So Monday's something is his beer, and you have to Google Peter Kiley and find it. So I'm not a beer guy, but.
So Kevin is speaking at the event as well, and he was telling us Sun King, they'll book out their downtown location for special events.
It's like, I think it's like $20,000 they charge. Every night they're sold out.
Wow.
Every night.
Well, Peter's going to be right here. We're going to drink tequila during that.
That's going to be awesome.
Yeah, that'll be awesome.
That'll be awesome. That'll be a good time.
We might have him on this podcast too.
That would be fantastic.
Could you imagine if you had to listen to tequila in stereo?
Oh, Lordy.
Head might explode. You may switch to the mortgage business.
So today, when I knew John was coming on the show, I texted Fred.
Yeah.
Fred, I finally got someone to go on the show with me to talk about beer.
Fred's our biggest supporter.
Okay.
He watches every show. I'm going to say he watches every show.
He does.
I believe he watches every show.
He's your Russell Owens.
Yeah, he is.
Yeah.
Yeah, and he will often comment, can we stop talking about tequila? Even though he doesn't dislike tequila. He just likes to give Brad a hard time.
Oh, yeah. No, absolutely.
Do you like my new shirt here?
May contain tequila. Yeah.
Cross it out. Contains tequila.
That's right.
Not even a question.
Yeah.
All right. I think we're good.
I think we're good. I think we drank 2 great tequilas. We had 2 awesome beers. We learned probably more about beer than any of our followers have ever heard about beer.
That's for sure.
So we scratched the surface, I promise.
I'm going to throw a
show. No, that was a deep dive.
How about a little teeny bit of real estate stuff?
Well, this is recorded the second day of January. So
right. So
you said you were super busy.
I'm super busy. January will be, this January will probably be my biggest January in 2 years. So that's
very nice.
New loan amounts for FHA,
yeah.
$124,225. That's an FHA first-time home buyer house in Indianapolis.
And I don't recall what it was last year.
Like 471.
Okay.
In 1997, when I got into the business, it was $86,000.
Hmm.
And the conventional loan limit, also the USDA loan limit, $806,500.
Well, take advantage, people.
I want to find a USDA person that will qualify with their income to buy an $800,000 house in Indiana. Not happening.
Yeah, probably not.
But hey, we started it with a teeny bit of real estate. We ended it with a teeny bit of real estate.
Excellent. That's what we do here. All right. Do us a favor. Cheers there. Yeah, there you go. Just drink that. That's fine. John, thanks for being on the show.
Thank you.
Definitely.
Thank you for having me.
Really appreciate it. Subscribe.
Like.
Follow. Leave a comment. Let us know more than Fred how much you enjoyed the beer episode. This is one of my favorites.
And don't forget to follow us on all of the audio podcast platforms.
There you go. See you next time. Our real estate makes us drink. Cheers.